I'll give you a broad overview because, as I've been telling all of the media, when they keep asking that, you know, I'm going to have the condition of the state on January 15th, and that's where we're going to lay out what our program is for the next legislative session. But it's no secret. I talked a lot about it in broad terms as we were campaigning over this last cycle. You know, we want to continue to build on the momentum that we're seeing in Iowa, and I'm proud of what we've been able to accomplish working with the legislature. I mean, we really went out and talked to Iowans, said what we were going to do, and we went down to the Capitol and followed through with that. And so I think we have a great foundation to build on. It's workforce, 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 and every time I get in front of, I don't care, small, medium, large business, they're all looking for the same thing. And so we've got the foundation in place with the Future Ready Iowa initiative. We put some a little bit of funding for fiscal year 19 to kind of get it started, work-based learning to get into high schools, kind of start to scale some of the things that are working. But now we need to really put additional funding into the program so we can scale and use the last dollar scholars, the apprenticeship programs, the certification programs that we've talked about and that are laid out in the initiative that we passed last year. So looking forward to continue to do that. Another big piece of the program that we'll talk about is the Empower Rural Iowa. It's really important that our communities all across the state are vibrant and growing. We don't want to see that just in pockets. We want to make sure that we're working with communities. I did the Governor's Empower Rural Iowa Initiative by executive order. Was it two or three? I can't remember. It was the second.
Three.
Okay.
Maybe it was two.
I haven't done very many. But anyway, so the Lieutenant Governor and Sandy have co-led and chaired that initiative. They reported out last week?
Mm-hmm.
Just last week. Three areas that we asked him to look at initially was invest, grow, and connect. Connectivity, you know, so we can't grow and we can't keep young people in our small communities if they can't get on the phone and utilize it in the manner that they're accustomed to. So that's really important. And with the Farm Bill that just passed, there's some federal dollars that we think we'll be able to utilize. Legislature, I put it in my budget last year and they passed. I put in two, but we got 1.3. Tough budget year, so I was happy to get some money. Again, we've got the program in place. They've done the rules, and now we've got some funding, and if we can use that to even draw down additional federal money, then again, we can start to scale some of those last miles and make sure that we've got the capacity that we need in rural Iowa, whether it's farming, public safety, education, health care, all of the above. You know, we've got technology to utilize in farming that we're not taking advantage of sometimes because we don't have the connectivity that we need. So so we're excited about that, growing the next generation of leaders. You know, I'm from rural Iowa. You know, you've got the same 10 people that do everything, and we want to make sure. I know I'm looking at them, right? Yeah, right? So we want to make sure that we get more people engaged in that. And it's all, when we look at the communities that are doing well, it's about leadership.
Are we going to be able to keep the Highway Commission District office here in Atlantic?
Mm-hmm. All right, I don't know.
Well, I'm working at it. That's why I asked to be on Transportation Committee this year and got it. And that's one of my...
Well, it's really, I'm sure you've heard from the people around here. It's very, very important to Atlantic to try and keep that district office here in the central part of the district.
Yeah, I'll have to take a look at that and see where they're at.
I appreciate that you could.
And I think we talked about that last time maybe I met with you. So, Senator, will you keep working with us on that?
Oh,
and
yes,
see?
I would. Absolutely.
You didn't see me wink when I said that. Yeah.
I was Director Lowe last August about it.
Yeah.
Representing Moore and I both had a private meeting with him in Creston, and that was the whole subject was this. And I said, I won't ever think that it's a good idea to ever take something out of one community, a smaller community, and move it to a bigger one. I will never, ever go along with that. So
it might not be important in Des Moines, but it's damn important in Atlantic, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's important in Union County and Adams County and Ringgold County. All those counties have all got a hold of me because of the distance that they would it would require them to because of the change.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Healthcare, you know, same thing, comprehensive mental health care reform that we passed last year, which was really the right thing to do. We need to figure out how to make sure that we can sustain that. Another component of that is the children's mental health system. We don't have one. We were able to sign an executive order to talk about how we would create one and sustain it. And they've made the recommendation, so we'll be working with the legislature to take a look at what that framework looks like. So Empower, Future Ready Iowa, continue to invest in education, economic development. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I said last year we started with comprehensive tax reform, and we focused on the individual. I said we're not done. We have to address corporate. We're the highest in the country, but we need to look at it in conjunction with the tax credits. But we want to do a holistic review of the tax credits. We don't want to do a one-off, and I think the legislature has indicated that they're going to take a look at that maybe next summer. So I don't know what we'll be able to do with maybe additional tax reform this year unless we can, if we've got the revenue, maybe expedite some of the policy that we passed last year. I wouldn't mind taking a look at that as well. So what are we missing? What else would you like to see that we're working on?
I'd like to compliment you. I'd like to thank you about the propane gas industry. Appreciates at your direction how you indicated to the DOT that the Volkswagen settlement funds go toward almost half of it toward possibly propane-powered school buses, which cut NOx emissions by 95%. Yep. And recognizing that, we appreciate the support from your office. It's going to be close to $10 million that could go into supporting education through new school buses. So thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Or do we have people on the school board here? I mean, that'll be another thing we'll do is we'll make sure that we set the SSA within the, you know, first, what is it, 30 days so that so you can, they can start to build their budgets and know what the, it's really helpful. We've done it the last two legislative sessions, and when I served, that was what they used for a bargaining tool. They kicked it down the road, and it's just not helpful for local, you know, schools to be able to set their budget and make decisions when they don't know what the revenue is going to look like. So we'll continue to do that too.
You spoke very, very briefly a few minutes ago about rural technology, which is important as all get out to our younger farmers that are coming up who are savvy in rural technology. And the other thing that I'd like to hear you expound on is the workforce and the development of the colleges and the systems around here that can give us some skilled workers in welding, construction, highly important away from the bigger cities.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of great examples of programs that we've piloted, and all of them have been done actually in rural Iowa. It's been a great partnership with the community colleges, the high schools, and the businesses, and we've had the Department of Labor sign off on a welding apprenticeship program where an individual can start as a freshman, and we do like a signing ceremony, just like you do for a college football team or basketball team or whatever, but they literally sit around a table. We've tried to make a really big deal about it, and they sign on with the business that they're going to work with this welding apprenticeship program. Now, this can apply to computer science. This can apply to whatever. So we've just started here, but it's a plan that can be adapted to whatever the need is in the communities. So they start, and the great thing about it is it's incorporated into the existing curriculum, so it's not outside of that. And and we were in Manchester, I think, is the one that we were at recently. They can actually make $30,000 the last 2 years of high school working with the company, and then they go right into that company when they graduate, and they can have associates, they have an apprenticeship, they work towards that, and then their high school diploma. But they work part-time, I think, their junior year. It's designated how many hours that they can work, and all of this has been signed off on, and then they can work the whole summer. I think it's 35 hours a week between their junior and senior year. So, I mean, that's the kind of innovative and creative things that we're doing with apprenticeship programs, work-based learning, but there's also, we can utilize a certification process as well. So, I mean, there's just varying needs with businesses across the state. Sometimes you don't need an apprenticeship, a certification that is industry driven. So we'll work with the industry, the community colleges, and the high schools, and really formulate what that looks like, and then formalize a certification program that the kids can participate in, and really, I think, you know, if they want, and then if they want to go on to advance in their career, a lot of them with the welding are going into Iowa State and then getting an engineering degree within the same company. So
we've been fortunate to have some of those programs around the Atlantic area, and we've seen how they do work, and they just need to be expanded.
And that's what the money will do. That's why when I say that, so that'll be a number one priority in my budget, and it'll be reflected in that, the money that we have to put into the Future Ready Iowa, so that we can work with students and high schools and businesses and help create and scale the programs that are working. So it's not really new programs. A lot of these are existing programs that we can scale and adapt to different sector and different business needs. Whether, as I said, we should be doing the same thing with computer science. There is such a need in the technology. We need that in everything. It applies. There's not a business that doesn't utilize that, and we're not near where we need to be. And so that's another example. And you can do a certification, or you can do an apprenticeship program. So there's varying stages that you can do with that as well. And there's also, we did the Future Ready Iowa Summits. We started out with 6. We ended up having 18. And the whole purpose of that was to just kind of make sure that the needs are different depending on where you live in the state. And so we really wanted to bring everybody together, figure out what the need was. Part of the Future Ready Iowa Initiative, too, is a business innovation fund. And so that's an opportunity for business and industry with some state match to create those kind of different programs that are needed in different areas of the state. So that's where you could kind of create your own. So it's really industry-driven, so that we're not trying to tell you what you need. You're giving us what those expectations are, then we'll create a program that's certified.
And a program that's easy to work with.
And that's easy to work with, yeah.
Good one.
And then the other piece of that is just the other component, the kids stay. I mean, so like in Manchester, the kids stay in the community because they've built the relationship. So that's young families that are getting married and having kids. So it helps the schools, it helps the downtown. It's what keeps our communities vibrant.